As I said earlier, we've been on retreat this weekend, on silent retreat, and that silent retreat is led by our guest speaker. I've known him for a long time, and when we used to have the Asilomar conferences, no matter when he spoke, it would be the one thing that would make my heart crack open and tears would come. In fact, I remember my husband sitting beside me saying, every time he speaks, it's the same thing, that there's something that happens, and that something is an energetic something. It's when when you're with someone of a higher consciousness, they're transmitting at every level. So not only are there words being spoken, but there's energy being transmitted heart to heart, every person. This weekend, James has talked about his teachers, not only his teacher of the science of mind. In fact, I don't think he talked about that particularly, but he's been talking about his knowledge of Siddhi Yoga, which is his path as far as a spiritual practice of meditation. And he and his wife, Reverend Leslie Golden, are devotees of it, and they're so clearly the right people to be leading this workshop. So open your heart and open your mind. I should say a little bit more. Past president of International Religious Science International, before it was Centers for Spiritual Living. So he was on the board of directors, and then he was president. But really, it's who he is as a spiritual seeker of truth that is going to be talking to you, not someone from the administration of an organization. He co-founded, I believe, the Redding Church of Religious Science Center for Spiritual Living in Redding, California. And it was a thriving, prosperous work under his care. So please help me welcome the Reverend Dr. James Golden.
All the time you need. So always be prepared. Be prepared from the moment you wake up, from the green screen. Not to be your mediocre self. Not to be the self that acts out in bizarre ways. None of those selves. The best one. Be prepared to greet your wife, your husband, your partner, your friends, your next door neighbor, not with a mind that is full of agitation or fear or doubt for whatever reason, but with your best self. What else are you going to do? I mean, check it out. Look around this world. You might notice that there's a few people that have forgotten their true self. Don't let it happen to you. So there's a story. And of course, spiritual stories have a purpose. It's not entertainment, although hopefully it's a fun, interesting, enjoyable story, but that's not really the purpose. A story is meant to show us something, tell us something, where the punchline happens inside of each one, of each individual, where what this story is about, what it really means, one comes to the conclusion for one's own self. And therefore, it's more powerful, it's more meaningful. And hopefully, it can help us be who we really want to be. So this story is from Eastern spiritual tradition, and it's about a fellow named Nasruddin. And like all spiritual stories, like, well, who's Nasruddin? Uh-oh, that would be us, right? We're all Nasruddin. So Nasruddin is a merchant, and he goes from town to town to town to town, and he brings all of his wares on a donkey. And of course, back in those days, towns were far apart, and he had to go a lot, vast distances from town to town. So he left one town. He had so-so experience. You know, he needed to probably do a little more marketing, probably get on the internet. And he was going across a desert. His GPS was not working. The donkey didn't have much to say. And he ran out of food. And he ran out of water. It was much further to the next town than he had thought. And so things were getting a little bit desperate. And he didn't know how much further. All he saw around him was sand dune after sand dune after sand dune. And he didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know if he'd make it in time before he died. So, of course, being a very spiritual person, he cursed. He made a lot of people wrong in his mind. He blamed himself. He didn't prepare well. He didn't give him the right directions. Nobody warned him. Nobody told him. Obviously, the donkey was partly to blame. You know how it goes, right? So he did all of that very faithfully, with a great deal of emphasis and a deep passion. And you know what happened? He was still thirsty, and he was still hungry. And the donkey was looking at him with a strange look, like he'd lost his mind. Ah, Nasruddin said, all right, I think I understand now. I need to pray to God. That's the only thing that's going to help me in this dire circumstance. So he got out his prayer mat, he faced to the east, and he did his prayers. God, help me. I have no food. I have no water. I don't know if I'm even going in the right direction to get to the next town. God, I need your help. Please help me. Well, he stood there. He's kind of like, nothing seemed to happen. He got very discouraged. I mean, he prayed to God in his hour of need. He was on a prayer mat. You know, it was an official prayer mat. You know, it was from the people that make those prayer mats. Really good one. It was supposed to be like pre-blessed out of the box. You know, and he's sure he was facing east. And he was everything, but God didn't do a darn thing. Well, I guess I just should walk, and my fate will be what it'll be. So he began to walk, and another half a day goes by, and he's getting thirsty and very hungry. And he comes to a top of a sand dune. All he sees is sand, except for one palm tree. At the base of this sand dune, there is one lone palm tree. And he thinks to himself, that's really unusual. I haven't seen any other palm trees for days. One palm tree. Just one little palm tree. Huh. Well, maybe there's a little bit of shade there. So he and his donkey go to the palm tree. He's pretty desperate. He thinks this is perhaps his last day on this earth. But there's a little bit of shade, just enough for him to sit in. It's very hot in the desert. So he sits in the shade of that palm tree. Well, what Nasruddin doesn't know, I'm going to let you in on a secret. This was no ordinary tree. This was a wish-fulfilling tree. So he sat under it, and he was grateful for that little bit of shade and that little bit of relief from the heat. Oh, he says, come on, donkey, come on in the shade. We'll be together in these last moments. Oh, he said, you know, this shade is really a blessing. But if there was a breeze, if there was just a little breeze, do you imagine how much cooler it would be? All of a sudden, he felt the air moving around him. And he looked up, and that one little leaf was moving. Didn't seem to be any wind, but that leaf was moving. And as it moved, it brought a flow of air over him. And he felt even more relief from the heat. And he's like, how about that? Isn't that something? That's really something. I'm grateful for this breeze and this piece of shade. However, now this is about our minds, right? However, I'm so thirsty. If only I had a glass of water, you know, I think it would be the sweetest drink I ever had. But I know I'm out. There isn't any. He kind of flopped his hand down next to him. He hadn't realized somebody had left a glass of water right there. Who would have thought? There's a glass of water. He took a drink, and he swore to himself it was the most delicious thing he'd ever tasted. But then he thought to himself, you know, I mean, this is really, it's kind of like hot water, you know, here in the desert, you know. What if it was ice water? I mean, could you imagine how good ice water would taste right now? And he took up his glass, and he touched the glass. It was frosty and cold on the outside. And sure enough, how did those ice cubes get? Oh, I don't know, but it's ice water. And he thinks to himself, wow, this is so great. Here I am, I'm in the shade, there's a little breeze, and I don't have ice water. You know, it would be really nice if I was in an air-conditioned little cabin here. I mean, imagine cranking that AC down to like 68, right in the middle of the desert. He closed his eyes, and he was thinking about that. All of a sudden, he got a little chill. He opened his eyes. He was in a little room. And that room had a really big air conditioner in the wall. And that thing was running full blast. And it was like about 68 degrees in there. And he thought, wow, look at that. Well, now he's on a roll, right? Says, you know, I mean, air conditioning is great. A little room's great, you know. But I think I ought to have like, a palace. Why not have a lot of rooms with air conditioners, you know, and a lot of different places, and a bedroom, and a kitchen, and you know. And he closed his eyes, and of course he opened them, and he was in the midst of a huge palace. Fantastic. And he thought to himself, you know, palaces are nice, but how about like fresh flowers? How about carpets? How about chandeliers? How about extravagant furniture? And then, of course, you know what happens next. And he's enjoying that, and he thinks to himself, wow, I mean, how about a wonderful meal? Every delicacy that he could think of. Sure enough, on the table in front of him, it's all spread out. Now, he thought something that many of you probably have thought. If I could share this with the love of my life, now wouldn't that be something? Then he thought to himself, and I don't want to waste my moment here. I need to be the love of her life, too. So, you know, we're both doing it. Next thing you know, here comes Fatima running down the hall. Nasruddin, you are my dream come true. And he runs towards her. Fatima, you're my dream come true. So they meet, they embrace, their hearts are full. And Nasruddin declares that there will be a huge wedding. Everybody, every friend, every family member, everyone he's ever known, everyone Fatima has known, every family member, they should all be here. And there you go. They're all there. Huge feast. Big wedding. You know, so Nasruddin's sitting there. He's feasting with the love of his life. People are all around. Everyone is so happy and so full. And he has this little nagging thought in the back of his mind. Just a short while ago, it was just me and the donkey. And we were on top of a sand dune, thirsty and hungry and hot. Now, I'm in a palace, surrounded by everyone that I've ever known. The most wonderful feast is on the table. How did all this happen? And he had a big doubt. He had some fear. I wonder if it was because of magic. I wonder if there was a demon behind all this, and I'm being tricked. Right down the hall comes the most hideous demon he's ever seen. It was horrible and deformed and sharp teeth, and it was drooling. He says, oh my God, that demon might eat me up. End of story. So, there's a spiritual point here. We're all sitting under the wish-fulfilling tree. Even if you don't want to sit under the wish-fulfilling tree, oh well, too bad on you. You can't get up from the wish-fulfilling tree. You know, this is what we learn on the spiritual path. That each one of us is in the midst of the infinite field of divinity. So, what's the problem? Okay, I'm going to tell you what the problem is, because, you know, okay, you probably already know. And there's a lot of them, but we're just going to try to pick the highlights. Here's one of the big problems. This is a huge one. Maybe, I don't know, one or two probably in all of our lives. You know what the big problem around here is? All these other people. All these are such a pain. None of them behave appropriately. I mean, once in a while. And I know you're a generous being. Would you not tell other people what they're supposed to do? All they have to do is ask. Right? All they have to do is ask. Anybody could come to you. Your wife could come to you. Your husband, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your boss, your employee, your dog, your cat, your donkey. And wouldn't you, out of the grace of your soul, tell them how and who they should be? So they could get it right. Of course you would. What's the problem? You know what the problem is? They want to tell you the same thing. Only it'd be different. They want to tell you what you should be. So, I got some really bad news about this whole spiritual path thing. It's really very disillusioning. You are not going to get what you want. It's not going to happen. Nasruddin. It's not going to happen. People are not going to line up so you can tell them who to be, so you'll have no more issues with them because they're all behaving appropriately. Other people are going to keep on behaving like they have free will. They are. I know that's hard news. They're going to keep on thinking and speaking and saying whatever the heck they want. And a lot of it will not be what you'd want them to do. Oh, well. What are you going to do about that? So, even beyond that, there's all these circumstances. You know, things like bank accounts and governments and taxes and health conditions, you know. All of that stuff is out there. And we've hoped and we've prayed, perhaps, in our Nasruddin personality mind, we have wanted to make this whole universe, all people and all things, into our own image and our own likeness. And you know what? In a weird way, you wouldn't have any issues if everything conformed to your ego. There'd be no problem. Everything would just be what it's supposed to be. How many of you want somebody else to have their ego define you and all creation? No. Thanks, but no thanks. Well, if it was me, I could deal with it, but I don't want, like, other people, you know, to sit under my wish-fulfilling tree and define all things for me. So obviously the spiritual path is not about creating all things according to the lower level of consciousness of just our personality. And, of course, the great teachers of all great traditions have had something like, we must allow the One, God, Spirit, the Self, whatever we call it, to show us the way. We have to transcend ourselves. and allow ourselves to become more fully in the image and the likeness of that which is eternally true. That's a little different journey, but it's a good journey. It's easy to become a lot of things. I mean, look around, look at humanity. We've become a lot of things, and a lot of them cause a lot of suffering. So it's easy to become maybe a little disheartened. Maybe we become a little disillusioned. Maybe we give up in a certain way. Maybe we just get involved in one thing after another, one thing after another, one thing after another to distract ourselves. Maybe we watch reality TV to find out what reality is. How's that working, you know? There's so many things that can be somewhat disillusioning or discouraging, or allow ourselves to do anything but be completely engaged in allowing the transformation of our own consciousness. So I want to show you something that I hope will really encourage you. Hey, Leslie, can you move? Have you ever seen one of these? I mean, really seen one of these. Not look through one of these. Not go get your Cheerios and just bypass one of these. Not just judge or criticize one of these. But this is what happens when the infinite, when all-encompassing love gets really, really committed to show up. Most of you don't know her name. I don't know her name. Doesn't matter. I know it's a good one. Doesn't really matter. So how many times has this heart, the one you see right here, how many times has it been broken in this lifetime? We won't even go into other ones. You know, how many experiences has this being moved through? How many times has the song of God been on these lips in ecstasy and happiness and recognition of the truth? How hard has she worked to be who she is today? How many times has she failed herself in her own eyes? How many people have been disappointed and unhappy and willing to tell her to her face or behind her back? How many times has she stood up when she's fallen down? How many lives has this sweet soul touched? Is this a good one or what? This is a good one, a good human being. And you realize, I'll go grab any one of you, and you'd be the same standing in this moment you'd be the same. Because our hearts are the same. We are all on the same path. We all experience, kind of scary, about the same thing. Slight difference in particulars, not all that much. The journey is worth it, my friends. The journey is worth it. Even if the heart breaks and we feel we're going to die, when we're like really sure about that, I cannot survive, fill in the blank. You can, and you will. The peace that makes things come together so much more powerfully and beautifully is to do it on purpose. And to be awake in the dream, not led around by Nasruddin's donkey, but to be awake and to be alive. And to be awakened to alive is to be awakened to alive of every bit of pain and suffering you experience, because if you do, you do. To be awake and to be alive is to experience the sunset, the moonrise, the newfound love, the graduation, the children, the children's children, the air, the ocean, and most importantly, when you look at this, the heart that beats in our own being, the heart of God, the majesty of the universe, and all it says is, let me out. Leslie, will you bring? Don't give up. Don't stop the journey. I'd like to invite Dr. Heather up. I'd like to invite any of the other ministers of this Sangha that are here just to come up front. I'd like to invite any practitioners that are here to come up. I'd like to invite any of the board members of this Sangha, both present or past. So just fill in this front area, please. So these beautiful beings have been, in one way or another, a leadership role in this spiritual community. You know, and again, I could say, anyone who's ever made the coffee, come on up. Anyone who's ever been a greeter, come on up. Anyone who's ever been at the soundboard, come on up. And for God's sakes, if you hung out with the children, come on up. You know, to give up your Sunday to be with children, what a save up. And anyone who's ever put even a penny in the offering, anyone who's been a friend to a friend. So, you know, then we'd all be up here, there wouldn't be any audience, and how do we do that? But you get the point. So, since I was in this Sangha, this spiritual community last, you guys went ahead and moved. You didn't even tell me. Well, you did. You told me the new address. That's huge. It's big. You know, this spiritual community is now on an even stronger foundation by purchasing a building and saying, man, we're here to stay. We're here in the long run. And we're going to do a lot with this. So I am going to represent the charter to everyone. So it reads, Christian greetings. Know all men by these presents that by the authority of the International Association of Religious Science Churches, vested in the Board of Directors, Religious Science Church Charter number 107 is hereby granted to, and you'll, I found this rather interesting, the First Church of Religious Science of San Clemente, California. So this charter was in San Clemente originally. Now, Interesting. This church charter establishes the recipient as a bona fide member of the International Association of Religious Science Churches. Incorporated, said church is to function in accordance with the Articles of Incorporation. You always have to have that. The bylaws, you always have to have that. And the bylaws of the International Association of Religious Science Churches. Now here's the really good part. This is the really, really good part. So in this chartering, in this official document, which represents something coming into existence, it reads, may the blessings of God rest upon this organization that it may stand as a continent of peace, a tower of strength, a beacon of light, a citadel of faith, a citadel of faith, and a fountain of love. A citadel of faith, a fountain of love. Granted by the headquarters of the International Association of Religious Science Churches in Carmel, California, third day of February, 1968. So, you, many, many that aren't here today, have held this consciousness that you want there to be a spiritual community. Well, I'd say it worked. You have a strong, beautiful spiritual community, and a very beautiful, sweet soul. You know, being a minister is not recommended. Being a minister is a very arduous spiritual path. Would it be okay for Dr. Heather to give a great talk on spiritual stuff and to get out on a freeway and be the worst driver you've ever seen? Or would there be some contradiction? Would it be okay if Dr. Heather gave you a talk on forgiveness, and then you had a conversation, she talked about all the people she hated and would never forgive? You'd probably say, oh, forget that church. They don't walk their talk there. They don't even believe what they do. Would it be okay for Dr. Heather to say, you know, you really ought to do these spiritual practice things? Well, she doesn't do them. I mean, she's, you know. I mean, like, publicly, sure, I get paid to do it up here. Or should she be meditating a lot? Should Dr. Heather live her life at the highest integrity? Do you have the right to expect that of your minister? Yes, you do. And if she doesn't, you probably should get a new one. It's hard and it's good to be a minister because it makes you, it forces you, even if you don't feel like it, to live the teaching. I've known Dr. Heather for many, many years. It's not that big of an effort for her. Or maybe sometimes it is. We all have those times. But the thing I would say about Heather is not only is she good in the job, it's a big job, in the leadership, in giving good talks, and giving good classes. Now you look at her. Is she a delicious, sweet, loving, kind soul or what? Yes, she is.